I'll try to summarize how this got started. You tell me where I miss or anything that needs to be filled in here. But
sure.
there was an effort and a discussion among lawmakers about bills putting together about the sexual grooming of students. And apparently you got an email from a reporter last fall asking for a comment about this. And you responded and said, well, yeah, I'm really interested. And you found out that the reporter had a story about a young lady named Hannah who said she was groomed and sexually assaulted by her band director. And I'm reading from a story that I'm reading in the forum news site here. And the quote is, as I'm listening to this story, Bennett said, I'm thinking this is sounding way too eerily similar because as a 10th grader, I was sexually groomed by my band director and I was a percussionist like Hannah was and I was almost raped. And so I saw this and I said, I got to get Peggy on. So pick it up from there, Peggy. All of these things that have happened, what did this story about Hannah do to you and why did that kind of motivate you to keep this thing moving?
Yeah, good questions. And I'll just say that this really didn't even start in the legislature with discussions. This started with Hannah and her story and then being connected with her through this reporter, finding out the similarities, and me kind of deciding through that it's time to share my story too, because it shocked me and angered me too, that, you know, 50 years apart, when I was a 10th grader, that was 50 years ago, the same thing's happening. And this is so wrong. Our kids should not be having to deal with sexual predators at school. So after meeting with Hannah, sharing my story with her and moving on from there, she had great ideas about some of the loopholes in the laws that needed to be fixed, gaps in the laws. Also, Detective Chad Clausen from the Eagan Police Department was involved because he was part of the initial investigation of this teacher, actually for a different student, and he stumbled upon Hannah and her story. So that's the birth of this bill that came through the recommendations of the two of them, and I started working on it way last November, and now it's been through five committees and just passed on the House floor on Monday.
That's wonderful. So it's passed on the House, so I'm assuming now it goes to the Senate where they'll take a look at a version of the bill as well?
That's correct. So my bill, my companion bill that I sent over to the Senate, is being carried by Senator May Quaid, a Democrat. So this is bipartisan. I'm a Republican. And it's been going through committees there as well and actually very close to coming to the floor in their body. We do have some language changes that they made, and we're going to have to merge some of those together. But it really still maintains its effect of, you know, creating the felony, a new felony for grooming and penalties. And the education that will go out to all mandatory reporters. And it becomes an item to be reported for all mandatory reporters, just like if an educator or anybody else who's a mandatory reporter sees physical abuse, sexual abuse, they have to report that or they're liable. And grooming gets added to that. So there are a lot of things that are going to strengthen the protections for young people so that they do not have to deal with these predators, especially in our schools.
Oh, absolutely. Peggy, how big of a problem is this? Obviously, once is one too many, but how pervasive is this? How often do we find these things happening in our schools?
Well, as I dug into this more since meeting with Hannah and Detective Chad last fall, it really concerned me because it's pervasive. It's like an epidemic, the grooming that's going on in our schools. And sadly, we see, you know, even throughout the nation and in our various states, the stories coming up and popping up all the time. And the majority of our educators would never do such a thing. And I'm a former teacher of 33 years, so I'm certainly not throwing our educators and staff people under the bus, because the majority would not. But there are bad actors that are taking advantage and, you know, choosing to use our schools as their kind of personal opportunity zone to prey on our children. And those are the ones we're going after. And, you know, just to give you an idea of the scope of this, we found out that our Department of Education is recommending, and they need an additional 7 employees to be able to deal with the new reporting, their intake employees, their investigators. They looked at other states, and there's a few states who have enacted these laws, and the uptick in the number of investigations needed and so on requires these employees, and that tells you this bill is desperately needed. You know, these things are happening very sadly. They're happening.
I was a public school kid. My kids went to public school. I've got a soft spot in my heart for public education. I know you do, too, after having spent more than 3 decades there. But, Peggy, how in the world has public education, our public school system, gotten so political and ideological the way it has? I think many of us now, I don't know how I would feel about sending my kids to public school because we see so many of these things and how it's gotten so political and so liberal within our schools. How has this happened?
Well, I agree with you. It's a concern. And as a former teacher who taught in public school my entire career for 33 years, I right now would likely not send my child, if I had one, to public school, because they have become kind of ideological training centers almost. And we need to back off and pull off all these mandates that are really political ideology and get back to teaching the basics, reading, math, science, and get our kids solid in those things. And we can see right now the strategies that are currently being utilized and have been for many, many years that are driving all this craziness in schools, they're not working because our scores, I don't know about in, you're in North Dakota, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't know about the scores in North Dakota, but in Minnesota, less than half of the kids in Minnesota can read at grade level. And math and science are even worse. So we have a problem. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to allowing schools to, you know, deal with discipline issues at the local level, because that's another huge issue here. And kids can't learn if there's other students throwing chairs across the classroom. I'm sorry, but that should not be allowed. So lots to deal with, but you're right. We need to get back to some sanity and common sense here.
This young lady, Hannah, amazing courage for any young woman to stand up and say, look, this happened to me. I'm guessing that hit you in a real way, and probably for yourself, as you said, this same kind of thing happened to you. I'm guessing for a young lady and even a woman who's got a few more laps around the track, that it brings back some of those memories and some of those fears and some of those images. I'm guessing that things like this, even now, as you had said, you know, 50 years later, it's never too far from your mind and your heart.
You're right. And just seeing Hannah's courage, you know, hearing her story gave me the courage to say, I need to sit, you know, share my story. I have with just a few, and it took a while. It took a number of years before I shared with anybody. And that was just, you know, close friends and family. But to bring it public is another whole issue. But I will just say to all the victims out there of, you know, these sexual predators, it doesn't matter how many years have gone by. It seems like yesterday, because I can clearly remember from my 10th grade years, all those experiences to the detail, even today. So that's the impact it has on people. So Hannah's was 5 years ago, mine was 50 years ago. It still affects us. And I think bringing it out into the open is almost a healing thing. I found that for myself, and being able to turn it, you know, into hopefully doing something good for others is also very healing.
Well, it looks like you are with this bill that's going through, and so good to hear that you've got colleagues on the other side of the aisle that are interested in moving this forward too. Before I end this conversation, Peggy, it hits me over and over doing what I do each day about how we are sexualizing our children in this culture of ours, and it seems like it happens within the school system as much as anywhere else. And whether you're talking about like straight kid heterosexual relations or LGBT things or trans things or whatever, our students, our kids, they only have one innocence. And when we lose that, when they lose that, they can never get that back, and they are never the same person mentally, because emotionally they're not equipped to handle this. Why can we not say to our educators that at least at the high school level, middle school, grade school, look, we can teach about reproduction and how babies are made, all that that we all learned when we were in high school. But we need to be, there needs to be a hard ban on all of these other things that get brought in along the way. Why can we not do that in our public schools?
Yeah, and you're right on, Steve, and I'm on the same page as you on this. And actually in Minnesota, during the trifecta that happened a few years ago where it was full Democratic control, they passed what's called universal health standards, which is shoving sex education, you know, from the state down. And we need to leave those sensitive topics to the local level where parents have control over it, because yes, everybody has differing values on those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Peggy, it's been a wonderful chat. I feel like I made a new friend today. So thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy day. And thank you for your courageous work on this. And thank you for your transparency and sharing your story as well.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.